One of my favorite books, and that's the book of Proverbs, chapter number 24. Proverbs chapter number 24. And we're going to read a couple of verses. And I always say that your favorite book is going to be the one you're studying at the time. Whatever book you're studying, if you love God's Word, that'll become your favorite real quick. And so we've tried to study the book of Proverbs down through the years consistently. I read a proverb every day. Whatever day of the month it is, I read that chapter. And I've done that for years and years. So today is Proverbs chapter number 24. And read this earlier this week. But I want to read verses 15 and verse number 16. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 15 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief." Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you for watching over us, keeping us safe. I want to thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, I pray that as we look into the Bible this morning, that God, you would speak to our hearts, help us as only you can. Lord, I pray you'd give liberty. I pray you give freedom of thought. Lord, you know the weakness of our frame, how that we need your strength. I need your help. Lord, I ask for your blessing today. I pray that you would speak to hearts. Lord, there's many of us here today, and God, I don't know anybody's heart except my own, but I know, Lord, how life is. I know how it is to go through, and Lord, we need your grace every day and every hour, and I pray for great liberty today, and I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and I pray that nothing would hinder in the service. We just ask you, Lord, that you'd have your way and help us as only you can. And we'll thank you for everything you do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse 16, just part of this verse one more time. This is really the part I'm going to try to preach out of this morning. And it just simply says this: "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." It's going to be our text this morning, and this message is just a little bit different than really. I don't think I've ever done this before, but I want to. I would put it like this: I'd like to dedicate the message this morning, and I've never done that before. But I want to preach this message in honor of. And most everybody knows that we weren't here for Brother Oscar's funeral. And, of course, he passed away this past week, and they had his funeral, and we were traveling and out of town. And on the day that you had the funeral here at the church, we were flying back from Dallas, where we'd been in Oklahoma. But when I think about this passage of Scripture, I think about Brother Oscar, and I'd already thought in my mind, when I think of this verse, I think about him. But not only do I think about him, but I think about many other Christians that I've known down through the years. And it's been my privilege down through the years to pastor a lot of people from what they historians call the greatest generation. If you are familiar with that frame, you know that phrase, the greatest generation, that refers to the generation that grew up during and through the Great Depression and through World War II. And historians talk about how it's really that generation that built our nation and made it the great nation that it is today. And boy, you talk about, my generation, we feel like we're suffering if we get hung up in the drive-thru. You know, if we're going through fast food and it takes a little bit longer than we think it should, then, you know, we think we're suffering. But most of us, we really don't know anything about what it is to suffer, what it is to go through trials. I mean, there's people that I have pastored down through the years. They have gone through so many things in their long life that it's just amazing. It's amazing that they have remained strong and hung in there with the Lord and been such a wonderful testimony. And so I think about this verse of Scripture, and Brother Oscar comes to my mind. I think about all the many trials that he's had just in the past year or so with his health, and then getting burned and going through that and coming, you know, he's down many times but never out. I talked to him one time, and he said, you know, preacher, in all this, I've never gotten depressed. And I thought, what a blessing that is. What a blessing to have that kind of a testimony considering everything that he had been through. But I not only think about him, I think about my grandparents and what a privilege I had to grow up and sitting on their porch and listening to stories about them growing up and my grandfather being in World War II, and then my other grandfather, he was a preacher and a pastor, and all of their children and all of their trials, and you know, hearing about those things. I thought about people here at the church. I mean, I could just take a long time and talk about different ones that grew up and overcame just all kinds of things. I thought about Sister Eulalia. If you ever sat around and talked to her and how she grew up and her brother. I thought about Sister Mick and how that she basically raised her children all by herself. Her husband passed away when she was very young, and she had these children and she never remarried. But boy, how she just worked, and you just never heard anything out of her. But what a great testimony. Many other people, if I start naming and getting real personal, I'll never get started today. But I think about all these people and the wonderful testimony. And it is a testimony of the keeping, sustaining power of God, the power of Christ in the lives of his people. And so I want to try to preach out of this verse. And if I was to give a title of the message this morning, I want to title it, Fallen But Not Finished. Fallen but not finished. Now look what the Bible says, and we're going to look at every word in this first part of this verse. The Bible says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I want us to think about this morning. The first thing I want to point out in thinking about this subject, I want you to see the person. The person in verse number 16, the Bible says, for a just man. Now, you ought to underline that in your Bible. It doesn't say a man or a woman, and we realize today that it's talking about mankind. It could be a man or a woman, but the Bible says for a just. That's the word you ought to underline, a just man. Falleth seven times and riseth up again. The Bible is not consumed with the histories of wicked people or evil people only as they come into contact with the righteous, with the redeemed, with God's people, are they even mentioned in the Bible. They're only mentioned in the Bible, the just and the wicked, by way of contrast. This is the blessed man. This is the righteous man. This is the evil man. This is the wicked, the contrast. So we can see the difference between the two. This is how a just man lives. This is how an unjust person lives. So the Bible is not, it's not about the wicked. It's about the just. And the lessons are in the life of the just people. Now here in the book of Proverbs, of course, the writer is King Solomon. And I always think to myself, now, who was he thinking about when he wrote this down? Who is he thinking about? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Now, that to me, the obvious answer to who Solomon was talking about, he's thinking about David and King Saul. King David was his father, and then the king before David was Saul. And in David and Saul, you have a contrast between the just and the wicked. You have the hunter King Saul, who was hunting down and trying to kill King David. And King David had not done anything worthy of death, but Saul just hated him. And he was jealous of him, and he was full of pride. And he did what the Bible says in verse number 15. He laid wait for him. He tried to catch him. He tried to kill him. So Solomon no doubt knew something about this. And he wrote in the Bible about the just and the wicked here. A just man is talking about specifically a righteous man, a saved person, a redeemed person. The Bible tells us about the just man and his life as a testimony to God's keeping power. As a testimony, the just man, his testimony is eternal. An unjust person, and we could think about many examples in history of great stories of people who overcame against great odds. But if they died without Christ, their life story is just temporary. But a saved person, their story is an eternal story, because their life does not end at death, but it only gets better after that. So the Bible holds up the testimony of the just person. The saved person, over in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, the Lord Jesus is talking over there, and he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What if somebody gains everything there is in the whole wide world, but they die and lose their own soul? What a waste that is. But that's a sad story. Now the world looks at that and they say, boy, the more somebody has gained, the greater their story is. But what purpose is it to gain everything and lose what's eternal? You never see a hearse that has a U-Haul behind it. I know we've all heard that. Maybe most of us have heard it, but you can't take anything out of this world. Job, in the book of Job, he said, "Naked came I into this world, and that's the way you're going to leave." We come in with nothing, we're going out with nothing, physically speaking, it's talking about. What would it profit us if we gain the whole world, lose our own soul? The just person, this is important to get this, the just man, the just woman is a redeemed person, a saved, they've been born again, they are a child of God by the new birth. John 5:24, the Bible says over there, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and is passed from death unto life." If you have trusted, if you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done that very thing. You've heard the word. Believed upon him. And when you do that, you pass from death unto life, eternal life. And that's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 11, when it said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." A child of God never dies. Somebody that's been saved, they may not be with us. Their body may be in the cemetery, but they're alive. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible is talking here, when it's talking about a just man, it's talking about righteous, being made righteous by the Lord. So that is the person we're talking about. What I'm saying, we're not talking about lost people here. We're talking about redeemed people. That's the person in verse 16. Second of all, there's the prospect. Look what it says, "For a just man falleth." You ever notice that? A just man falleth. Now, that is not in the sense of being saved one day and sinning and falling and being lost the next day. There's no such teaching as that in the Bible. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and is passed from death unto life." If you're saved by the grace of God, you don't lose your salvation. The only kind of life that God gives is eternal life. God does not grant temporary life based on if you live good after you've accepted Him. If that's the way it was, we'd all lose our salvation. So by His grace, He gives eternal life. He gives eternal life. People say, oh, I would like to become a child of God, but I don't know if I can live it. That's not up to you. That's up to Him. He gives eternal life. And boy, I'm glad that He does. Because we'd all be in a bad shape if the Lord did not give us eternal life. But what He is talking about, the context of the Scripture, He's talking about trouble in our lives. Just man falleth. You are going to have trouble in your life. The Bible tells us over in Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 23, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Though he fall, he's going to fall. We are going to get tripped up in this life. We are going to have troubles in this life. There's no doubt about that. Think once again about Job in the Bible. Job was a wise man. He had a lot of trouble. Job said in chapter 14, verse 1, he said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. You know your life is like that sometimes. It is a fleeting thing. It passes by just like that. And I'll tell you what, it's full of trouble. If it's not your trouble, it's somebody else's trouble. But there's trouble all round about us. There's all kinds of trouble. Job knew about having trouble in his life. Job had trouble in his life through personal tragedy. He lost his fortune. He lost his family. He had his children that got killed. He knew what it was to have trouble. And then his wife, boy, she was such a blessing to him when he was having trouble. You know what I'm talking about, those of you that are Bible readers. I mean, he's lost everything. His friends have turned against him. And they come over and they just basically say, Job, you're going through this because of sin in your life. But Job hadn't sinned. And she said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know what her Indian name was? I learned this while I was out in Oklahoma. Her Indian name was Three Horses. That means nag, nag, nag. Oh, Job, husband, just curse God and die. Wouldn't it have been a blessing if she'd have come by and said, it's going to be all right, Job. Things is going to look up. Things are going to get better. But no, no. She come by and made it worse. Come by and made it worse. Job knew what it was to have trouble. He knew what it was to have people turn against him. There is trouble through personal tragedy. We know about that here in the church. We know about that in our families. Life is not perfect. There's a lot of pitfalls. There's a lot of trouble along the way. Though he falleth. Bible says there's trouble through personal tragedy. There's trouble sometimes through personal sin. David had a lot of trouble in his life because of his sin. Because he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and God was not pleased with that. And all the heartache and the pain and the trouble that David brought on himself. David's the one over there in Psalms that's talking about, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That was David that said that. He knew about trouble. He had fallen morally, fell into sin. You know, a lot of our trouble is just our own fault. Who brought it on? But I brought it on myself. David knew about that. David had trouble because of personal sin. And a lot of times it's just no one's fault but our own. There's trouble through doubt and confusion and lack of faith. I think about in the Bible, John Mark, and oh boy, he went out with Paul to begin with. But when the going got tough, John Mark turned and went back home, and Paul remembered that. Second missionary journey, Paul didn't want to bring John Mark this time. Hey, think John Mark felt. He had fallen. His faith was weak. He didn't trust the Lord. He didn't persevere. He went back home when he should have stayed out there with Paul. But later on, hey, it turned around in his life. But through doubt and lack of faith, he fell. There's the pitfalls of youth. You think Timothy ever had any trouble in his life? Paul wrote to him in 2 Timothy 2:22, and he told Timothy, he said, "Flee also youthful lust." Timothy, I know you're a young man. Timothy, I know you've got... Did he have problems? Evidently he had something. Or Paul wouldn't have told him, "Flee also youthful lust." Somebody said, "Oh, I'd like to go back and be 16 again, buddy, not me. I'll just stay where I'm at, and I'll just take what comes from here on out. I don't want to go back. I just want to learn from the mistakes I've made and not do it again. But I do not want to go back and live it up." You know what? You say, "Oh, I'd like to go back." You might make a worse mess the second time than you did the first time. Well, we ought to pray for our young people. They are up against a lot of temptation. They have many things that pull at them. And if you make it through being a young person into adulthood without losing your testimony, do you know what? You have defied the odds. Flee also youthful lust. There's falling involved in that. There's trouble. There's problem. There's the sin of others that sometimes affects us, and we didn't have anything to do with it. In 2 Samuel chapter number 13, David had a son whose name was Amnon. And Amnon had a first cousin whose name was Jonadab. And Amnon revealed to Jonadab that he had a lustful desire for his half-sister Tamar. You know that story in the Bible? And old Jonadab counseled, and he convinced Amnon to do something that he ought not to have ever have done. And Amnon, he defiled his half-sister. Well, you talk about a mess. That was not Tamar's fault. But the Bible says that she lived desolate all the rest of the days of her life. She never got married. She never had children because of what had happened to her when she was young. Sometimes the trouble and the sin of others affects you in a terrible way. There's all kinds of ways to fall when we think about it. There's trouble through personal attacks of others. There's trouble through circumstances. There's trouble through sicknesses that come in our lives and we don't have anything to do with it. There's a lot of ways to fall. It's not, "Am I going to fall in my life?" It's when. But here's what the Bible says. "For a just man falleth." That's the prospect. But look at this. There's the pattern. "For a just man falleth." Look what the Bible says. Seven times. Seven times. If you study it out in the Bible. Now, here's the way we think. Well, seven times, surely I can get through seven times. If I lived to be 70, that'd just be once every decade. But that is not what the Bible means. When the Bible uses the phrase seven times, it is what's called an indefinite number. It might be seven times. Think over in Matthew chapter number 18. What did Jesus say to Peter about when he was offended? That he was supposed to forgive seven times. And the Lord said, not seven times only, not seven times seven, but seven times 70 times. You mean I'm supposed to forgive? Would that be 490 times? That's what the Bible says. But you might have to forgive 491 times. It's just using that as an illustration, as we don't know how many times in life you might fall. The pattern, though, for all of us. I read this one time, and I wrote it down in my Bible. It just said this. It said, try, fail. Try, fail. Try again, fail better. We've all went through that. Try, fail, try, fail, try again, fail better next time. King David failed so many times, he would have been on a first name basis in the emergency room. I mean, it wasn't just him and Bathsheba. David had a lot of things in his life. When he was a young man, he was afraid when he shouldn't have been afraid. And he went down there before King Achish, and he let the spittle run down on his beard, and he acted like a madman. He shouldn't have been afraid. The Bible says over there that he was afraid. There's times when David ran when he should have stayed. There's times when David looked when he should have been on the battlefield. There's times when David should have just confessed and got right with God, but instead he tried to cover it up. David had a lot of problems in his life. There are times when David, through pride, he wanted to number the people. It's the very last chapter in 2 Samuel chapter number 24. And yet, through his pride, he wanted to number the people. And he sent out his captain, Joab, to number the people. I want to see how many we've got. But the word of God said the king was to never number the people. If he numbered the people, he was putting his trust in how many he had and not how big God was. And Joab said, don't do this sin. Don't do this sin. This is a sin. King David, I know you're the king. I know you're smart. And I know you've been at this a long time, but don't do it. David said, do it anyway. And he went out and he numbered the people, and thousands of people died because of what David did. David fell a lot. David had a lot of problems in his life. And he played favorites with his children. That caused a lot of problems. That'll cause a lot of problems. Now, I kid my children about who's the favorite. But the truth is, they're all my favorite. This depends on which one's in the room. My parents used to tell us, my brother and I, we would come and say, who do you like the most? And they'd say, we love you both the same. That's a pretty good answer. They acted that way too. David didn't act that way. David loved Absalom above the rest of them. He should have whipped Absalom. Absalom was a rebel. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? The rebel gets the most attention. The one that causes the most problems gets all the attention. And David played favorites among his children. And it caused a lot of problems in his family. And David's whole life, if there was a pattern in his life, it looked like in an emergency, in a hospital room when the heart monitor's plugged up. And he goes up and down and up and down. That's how David's life was. He had a lot of highs, but he had a lot of lows. He had a lot of mountaintop experiences where he was out there and he was writing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He had times where he wrote, through my sin is the iniquity in my bones. He had a lot of low places in his life. Up and down and up and down and up and down. Now King Saul, if you study about King Saul and his life wasn't like that. His life was down, down, down. Every step that he took, seemingly, as you study about his life, took him farther and farther and farther away from God. That's the difference. David was a just man. Saul was wicked. I've studied about him. I don't think Saul was saved. He became the enemy of God's people. He resorted to witchcraft. I mean, there's all kinds of things. And there's no fruit in his life. Everything he done, he just got farther and farther away from God. David, though, he would fall, but he'd get up again. He'd fall and he'd get up again. There's the promise, number four, this morning in verse number 16. For a just man falleth seven times. But look what it says. And riseth up again. Boy, I like that. That encourages me. A just man falls seven times. A just man falls so many times, you lose count sometimes. But the Bible says, and riseth up again. What defines the people of God in their troubles defies logic. It doesn't make any sense, is what I'm saying. It's not the falling, but the rising up. That God's people can fall and there's so much danger and there's so many problems in our life and you think somebody is down and out. But you just wait around a little while, you'll see they'll get up again. That's the Lord. That's the Lord that makes that possible. That's not, if you've had trouble in your life and problems in your life and overcame them, it's not because you're strong. It's because the grace of God is greater than all our sin. God's hand upholds. God's hand picks us up when we cannot even carry our own selves. Paul said this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, we come to the question this morning, why? Why do we have trouble, so much trouble in our lives? Why is life so hard? Why do bad things happen to good people? Ever thought about that? It's not that God's got something against us. It's that God desires to demonstrate through His children that a trial of faith makes you stronger. It doesn't destroy you, and to show the world that what we have and what we talk about and what we preach is real. It is real when we talk about the peace of God passeth all understanding. The world doesn't understand that. But the child of God in the hardest times can come along and say, it's going to be all right. God knows. When death comes, when sickness comes, when trials come, when family disappointments come, when the world's let you down, when everybody's shooting arrows at you, and the child of God, as the Bible says, can rise up again. That is the grace of God. All benefit, all glory goes to the Lord because of that. David said in Psalms 34 and 19, he said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. I like that. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Christian life is not, it's not a life of flowery beds of ease. It is not a life of smooth sailing. Anybody that makes you think or tells you, oh, if you just come to God and everything will be all right, your problems might just be getting started. See, when we're born on the devil's side, just by nature. We're born unredeemed. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and He saves us by His grace, you switch sides. And the devil doesn't like that. He'll leave you alone over there where over here he'll torment you to death every day. But the Lord is greater. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. I like what one preacher said one time. He said, I'd take my worst day as a child of God over my best day as a child of the devil. It's that much better. There's that much difference. But the Christian life is not a life of smooth sailing. It is not a life where there's no problems. It is not a life where there's no dark clouds and storms, and there's going to be tests, and there's going to be trials, and there's going to be temptations, and there's going to be skinned knees, and there's going to be body casts sometimes. It can be rough. There's going to be all these things. I like what the Apostle Paul said at the very end of his life. Now, he's in prison. He's writing to Timothy, and Paul knows that just any day now, if something doesn't change, they're going to cut his head off. And he writes to Timothy, and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, he says, and he's reviewed all these things about being in prison, about the afflictions, about the trials and tribulations. And he says, notwithstanding. Now that's a wonderful word. That means, in spite of everything that's going on, in spite of that I'm writing from prison and I've got a death sentence on me and it's just any day now, notwithstanding, Paul said this, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In all the trials, in all the afflictions, in all of the persecutions, he said, notwithstanding. Now you think about that. The Lord stood by me. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord got me through all of these things. That's the promise in the Word of God. The Bible says back in Proverbs 24 and verse 16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's the promise of the Lord. He's going to be with us. He's going to lift us up again. Then I'll say this one last thing. There is the prophecy. There's the picture in this verse. What it is a picture of in verse number 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It's a picture of the final rising up. It's a picture of the resurrection of the body of the just. Look over in the book of Job. I want to show you something in Job chapter number 19. I'll show you this quickly and I'll be done this morning. But there's a picture there. When the Bible says the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. I know how we are. Somebody said, well, what about so and so? What about this? What about that? What about old John the Baptist? They cut his head off. They might have cut John's head off, but that was not the end of John. John is going to walk upon the earth again. Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And Job is writing here. Job is speaking here in Job chapter number 19. Now, Job had some deep theology. I mean, he had some deep thoughts about God. He had some deep thoughts about the future, salvation. This is way before the New Testament. Job chapter 19, verse 25, the Bible said, Job said this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I like that. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Job knew the Lord was coming back. He knew a lot of things about the Lord. I know he's alive and I know he's coming back. He's going to stand in the latter day, the last days, upon the earth. Verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job said, I'll go down to the grave and the worms will eat my body, but I'm telling you, I'll see God in my flesh. Man, that's a blessing to me. He said in verse number 27, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. He knew he's going to go to the grave, but he knew his eyes would see the Lord. mine eyes shall behold and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. Do you know that's how a body decays in the grave? From the inside. And all that's left is the skin, and then all that's left is the bones. But Job said, the worm's going to eat my flesh. My body and my flesh is all going to rot away. But the Lord's going to stand on the earth in the latter times, and I shall see Him in my flesh. And it'll be my eyes and not the eyes of another. The just falleth. Job knew about falling. Job knew about troubles. Job knew about death. Job knew about losing everything he got. But Job said, yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm not going to die forever. I'll see him one day. In my flesh, I'll see God. Boy, he knew a lot more about God than a lot of people that's got all 66 books of the Bible. There's a picture in this verse. Just man falleth seven times, the Bible says, yet shall he rise again. The dead in Christ shall rise again. The redeemed of the Lord are going to rise again. The Lord's coming back. You say, I don't know if I believe all that. I believe all that. He got up out of the grave the first time. Why couldn't he get everybody else he wanted to up the second time? Sure he can. Well, I believe that with all of my heart. The Bible said, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You ought to underline that in your Bible. You ought to memorize that. When you see somebody out here going through troubles and you say, wow, that's amazing. How do you take it? I thought about Brother Stephen and his wife just left this morning, taking their little son. Going to go up to Cincinnati. Hey, stand that. How do our hearts stand such things? The grace of God. The grace of God. How do you stand when somebody dies? The grace of God. How do you stand when sickness comes? How do you stand when family troubles? It's just the grace of the Lord. Again and again. How many times you fall, that's how many times the Lord is able to lift you up. His hand is not shortened and it cannot save. He is not weak in anything he does. I'll ask you in closing this morning, do you know for a fact that you are saved by the grace of God, that you would be considered, according to the Bible, a just man or a just woman? That's the most important question in the whole wide world. What's going to happen to you when you die? Do you know that you're saved by the grace of God? Not just religious. It's all the difference between heaven and hell. God does not ask us to be religious. God asks us to believe upon the sacrifice of His Son that died on Calvary. There's a difference there. Do you know that you're saved? Maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I'm in all kinds of trouble. I'm in a mess. I've got problems. I don't know what to do. I can't help you, I promise you that. But I can point you to the one that can. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20, and I like what it says, He sent His disciples into all the world to preach the gospel, and He told them, He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now I know it's taking it out of context a little bit. It's not L-O-W. I am with you always, but I'm glad He's with us, L-O-W, aren't you? Lo, I am with you. Yes, He's there on the mountaintop, but He's there in the valley. And I've put a note in my Bible years ago, somebody said, about Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 20, where Jesus said, I am with you always. He said, it's the word of a gentleman, and you can put your stock upon it. God does not lie. He's always been there. He's always been there for me. If you're a child of God, He's always been there for you. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to ask the lady.